Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares a look into our true nature as intuitive and highly empathic beings who can manifest their healthiest and most joyful lives through learning acceptance, allowance, and surrendering to conditions beyond our control, and by understanding universal laws of energy and adopting a cooperative, positive thought process and behaviors for creating our best life. I am delighted to welcome Dr. Todd Pressman, an international speaker, psychologist, and author of Radical Joy. Hello, Dr. Pressman.
Hello, Cheryl. Nice to be here.
And to have you here. Todd, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, my guests and I share our experiences and how we became more aware of the true nature of being and understanding human nature through working with the universal energy laws and the tools we may employ to work through any physical or emotional challenges, always in search of our natural state of being, which is to be joyful, healthy, and happy. An understanding of our dual nature as spiritual energetic beings having a physical life is a great asset in helping create your most purposeful life experience. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Dr. Pressman, who is the founder of Logos Wellness Center and the Center for Management Excellence, dedicated to helping people and businesses achieve extraordinary levels of performance, and whose work with Olympic athletes has honed his understanding of the technology of mind, body, and spirit that help those already excellent in their fields to become even more so. We will discuss his work as a spiritual psychologist, learning more about transpersonal breath and other tools to accept a higher consciousness and awareness of self. Todd, I would like to share with our listeners that your father, Maury Pressman, M.D., author of Living in the Supermind, was a guest on Healing From Within, and I so enjoyed his energy and the wisdom he shared on that episode. The show may be heard on my radio page in the archives dated October 7th, 2013. Todd, I often ask my guests to think back to childhood to remember any special interests, goals, or values that may have guided them to the work or life interests that are important to them now?
Well, I come by that, honestly. My father, as you just mentioned, was a psychiatrist, a psychoanalyst, and later in life, a spiritual seeker. My mother was a social worker and a biofeedback therapist, so I really, I was born into the right family. But I'll say that it's, in my understanding, from past life work that I had done, where this is the incarnation where I wanted to gather all the experience I'd accumulated to be able to help people and bring it all together. I think that the teachings I put down in Radical Joy, the book, are a really nice synopsis of that experience, and I hope and have found that it's been very helpful for people.
Well, what you just said there was that you understand your soul and energy and the fact that we are much more than we appear to be in the physical realm, and we are multidimensional beings who have many reasons for being in this life, in this time and place. And the best reason is to just grow and expand and find radical joy, happiness, and to help each other, be cooperative, more so than competitive. I mean, competition when it's with yourself in order to improve yourself is a wonderful thing. But when you judge yourself in comparison to others, it leads to less than ideal conditions. So thank you very much for that answer. You know, I often think about how much I personally have changed in the last 20 years since becoming aware of this greater reality beyond the physical world. And I realize my children remember me the way I was as a young woman with fears and limitations, many of which I unknowingly imprinted on their little pure and loving and fearless little souls. Were you able to see a difference in the father you knew as a child And the father you knew as an adult, because your father was a man of science, allopathic medicine, and spiritual psychiatry. So he merged his dual nature of soul and mind into one force for compassion and love. But I'm sure he wasn't that way when he was younger, when you were young.
It's such an interesting question. I'll give you a little bit of his history because it's so fascinating and relevant to your question. He was actually trained by students of Sigmund Freud, which I think is just very fascinating, and I like to call myself a third-generation Freudian, and he would tell stories about what his teachers would share at the feet of the master, so to speak, and he would also tell stories about the early days of psychiatry where, when he was in medical school, there was nothing for treatment except hot and cold baths, he called them, and I think the idea was that if somebody was having some kind of manic episode, for instance, you put them in a cold shower and it would calm them down. So it wasn't a very advanced science.
No.
And in that respect, he wasn't very far along in his understanding of human behavior and certainly spirituality. But when I was about 13, I became intensely philosophical, which quickly became a spiritual quest. And at the same time, he was beginning his journey. And he had a private meeting with Swami Muktananda, which was quite wonderful, and was sort of swept up in the inner circle with people like Stan Grof and Michael Murphy and Stan Krippner and so forth. And I would hear him talk about his experiences. Here I was 13, but he would say things like, consciousness is everything. And I would say, that's just the piece of wisdom that I was looking for. And everything is one. And so we kind of grew up on the spiritual path together, you know, at 13, before 13, I just remembered having a wonderful dad who was so fun to be with.
Oh, isn't
from that point
great?
On,
yeah, great.
Yeah, we really became colleagues and fellows on the path together.
So he was interested in the connection between the mind and body, and he pioneered the use of hypnosis and creative visualization to help people reach their full potential, both physically, in the human sense, and spiritually. I want to read something that he wrote about the spirit and the soul, which is often confused by many people. And he wrote, "The spirit is the divine spark within each of us, a part of God himself, creating and inhabiting every part of creation, including humankind. Because the divine is all-powerful and all-knowing, it does not experience. One can only experience by having limitations. So the soul is the causal body, or the fourth plane of involution, or God's need to experience through our physical being, a part of seven vibrational planes of decreasing frequency. The soul is the part of God that can experience in its material or human form or denser form, and the three lower vibrational forms are the mental, emotional, and physical." Now, Dad, he was learning when he was talking to you about consciousness being everything. So we are conscious beings. Our soul is a part of that bigger sphere of energy or universal life, and our soul is the part of us that is able to create the life that we want. So I think it's wonderful what he wrote. Now, why do you call your work Radical Joy?
I wanted to express the fact that this is more than ordinary joy, that there is an experience, just as you're describing, beyond what we are trained by society to expect, where the most you can hope for, as Freud said, was, you know, to have satisfying work and love relationships. Well, there happens to be this whole other dimension called spirituality, and if we are going to have true joy, we've got to reach past the boundaries of what the world considers to be joyful into that kind of spiritual joy. And as a psychologist, I tell people, you know, we can work on your history, and sometimes that's helpful. We can work on goal setting, but if you don't bring the spiritual component into it and work on a sense of higher meaning and purpose, like what are we here for? Why are we doing these things? Why are we setting these goals? because we cannot truly be satisfied or radically joyful unless we satisfy that part of ourselves. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, if we don't know who we are. Now, for me, spirituality is knowing more about my inner soul essence and why I decided to live this physical life in the first place. Knowing myself more intimately, loving myself so I can love everybody else, even when they don't behave in ways that I'm comfortable with. I know they have their own life path. And we're all finding our way forward. We all have good within us. And there really is no good or bad, only experience. So in learning that, that leads you to know that you are here to enjoy everything, the physical and the spiritual. And it begins with knowing yourself first. And I think that's what you were also just saying. Now, I read in your bio that you have traveled around the world. You've been fortunate enough to do that, studying the great wisdom traditions. And tell us something about that and what you have learned from some of these places you've been and travels that you've had.
Sure. It was actually the trip around the world was, and this I was very fortunate, for college with a program called Semester at Sea, if any of your listeners have heard of it. And, you know, I was probably 22 at the time, so very ripe for this kind of exposure to world cultures and religions. I actually took most of my classes in religious studies and cultural anthropology and philosophy because my spiritual interest was already in full force. So we were really quite lucky to, for instance, in India, to meet with one of the last eight Zoroastrian high priests outside the fire temple in Mumbai. And he was this very tall, imposing figure with a long white beard and white robes. And, you know, what did I learn from him? Lo and behold, I learned that everything is one and all is consciousness. Then I spent time with a Zen master in Kyoto, Japan, and we witnessed an authentic tea ceremony. And he said the same thing. When you concentrate on one point, whether it's your breath or raking the stones in a beautiful rock garden, then we come to the same experience. We are one consciousness. And in Sri Lanka, I had the good fortune of witnessing authentic fire walking. This was before fire walking workshops were popular in the United States. And this was deep in the jungles of Sri Lanka, where a young man had trained with his father for a lifetime to be able to do this, and his father had trained with his father, and it was just passed down through the generations, a very sacred event. And his way of describing the same thing was just by, when I said, how can you do it? How do you do it? And there was a translator, and he said, because you just step into love when you step on the coals. It's all the same thing. So,
absolutely beautifully said. You know,
yeah.
In my travels and studies of the great wisdom traditions, I have found a common thread that runs through every living thing, every living being. And in my book, The Living Spirit, I talk about the need to love and be loved. And it's the most common thread, as you just said. And I expressed it this way. In continuing our quest for personal truth, along with our goal to hear the whispers, experience beautiful thoughts, and sense the feelings of peace that may reside in our soul and body, a pleasant feeling of cooperation between body, mind, and soul can be achieved to bring about a future reality of substance. We will learn that we can manifest the lives, loves, and relationships we truly want, and perhaps most of all, we will see our circumstances as something that can assist us in taking our souls to the next level of development. So it really doesn't matter what it is. Like you said, standing on a hot coal is as important as anything else. Yeah. So thank you for saying what you said. So I could bring that out, because that's what it is. That is the thread. The thread is for our humanity and for creating a better world is love and compassion. and getting beyond the fear and the negativity and the doubt, self-doubt, to going to a level of radical joy. So what do you want people to know most about the possibility for radical joy in their lives? What can they start to do in order to increase their own awareness and to see life in a little different way, perhaps?
Well, thank you for asking, because that gives me the opportunity to spread the word on what I feel so passionately in this work. I would say that the one thing we have to do is look at fearlessly and courageously the blocks to love and joy. We are, as you said earlier, born, well, before this lifetime, in perfect joy and love, but we adopt a physical form and have experiences that seem to say, well, things don't work that way, and we better be afraid, and we better be defensive. We can understand exactly what those secret thoughts are that led to those beliefs that hold us back from love, and in various ways let them go, rise above them, work them through, and so forth, so that joy and love are inevitable. It's not so much, and I'm a big student of A Course in Miracles, and as A Course in Miracles says, it's not so much a matter of seeking for love, but just getting the barriers to it out of the way. So that's where my work as a psychologist comes in, and more importantly, as a spiritual psychologist. Once you work out the blocks that we've learned in this lifetime and previous lifetimes, love is inevitable. It's just there waiting for us. Perfect love is inevitable.
Well,
that's the message I would like to convey.
That's fantastic, because each of us is love. That's what we come from. That's what we return to. Our consciousness is pure love. So there really are no barriers. It's there for us, within us, around us. We are part of that divine essence of love. So, yes, the fear is what restricts us from knowing ourselves. And again, spirituality is about knowing ourselves. Now, how do you apply this in your work as a spiritual psychologist and in your workshops? And what's the difference between a spiritual psychologist and, what's the difference between transpersonal psychology and spiritual psychologist?
I think there's probably not any difference. Transpersonal psychology is a term that was adopted by the academic community to sound a little bit more scientific and reputable, probably. But that's what I mean by spiritual, same as transpersonal. And, of course, transpersonal means going beyond the person or the individual ego that, again, the world assumes is who we are. In my work, to answer your other question, I think that the number one task is, again, to understand what we have erroneously bought into in the way of false beliefs that are holding us back. And we do this even though sometimes it's scary, sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's uncomfortable. We wouldn't have our problems if we didn't like to live within our comfort zones. But, of course, that limits us too much to be comfortable. So we have to understand what those blocks are. That's number one. And it doesn't require going into the past necessarily, because, as my father would say, the past is living on in the present. Anytime we're not in perfect joy or radical joy, there's some belief from the past, almost always from childhood, that we're recycling in the back of our mind. It's not hard to find what those beliefs are. And in my book, Radical Joy, I give a very simple but effective process for getting down to what I call the core fear, the basic belief that is limiting us. And once you understand that core fear, usually a universal theme of loss, like fear of losing your identity, fear of not finding your purpose in life, fear of being abandoned, not having love, fear of dying and therefore losing all your opportunities for love. Once we find that, there's an automatic prescription for what to do about it. Because as children, we buy into these limiting beliefs. We build defenses or protective behaviors that supposedly keep us from those fears. And what we have to do is release those defenses and open up, expand into our higher potential. And again, that takes courage sometimes. We have to be willing to go right through the fear, trusting that it's not real.
Yes.
But if we don't do that and we sort of bury our head in the sand and say everything is wonderful when we're really carrying these beliefs that limit us, then we're not going to get the goodies.
So what
we're not going to get the spiritual
yeah,
reward.
So Todd, what can you say to the parents who are out there so that they can begin not to imprint so many of these fears on their children so they don't have to spend so many years as an adult realizing what mm-hmm. exactly is stopping them from finding their radical joy and their true path. So what can we suggest to the parents to begin to do? One thing comes to mind to me, because I do this with every child that comes across me. Listen, respect what they're offering to us. They have great wisdom. They're still connected to the energy of spirit, and they sort of know what's right for them. And if we said less to them and observe them and watch them move and dance through emotions so rapidly, not stay in it, we would be able to learn a lot from them or remember a lot of how we felt as a child. So what would you suggest to the parents out there?
Well, I like that very, very much. And actually, I had an acquaintance in a beautiful workshop in Mexico who said once his kid, they had just finished painting their walls, and his kid was so delighted with the process that after they made the walls nice and white, the kid took a big blotch of red paint and threw it against the wall, and a big blotch of blue paint and threw it against the wall, and the fathers decided at that moment he could either be horrified or he could go with it, and they just started throwing paint all over the wall. In any case, I think that to get a little bit more serious with the answer, and I am a father of a most incredible 13-year-old spirit, it's definitely about doing your own work. We won't impose our unresolved and unrecognized issues on our children if we've cleared them out ourselves. Now, of course, none of us are perfectly cleared out yet.
Yes.
Some of us, but it's therefore a matter of letting your children see that you're working on yourself, too, and taking responsibility when you've acted out in a way that wasn't in the kid's best interest. But there's another very important point, I think, to your good question, which is children are infinite spirits, and they are closer to the source, and that's where it's so magical and wonderful. At the same time, they need us as guides, of course, to learn the ways of the world, where we can't just, freely go and express ourselves in whatever way we want, because other people are going to come along and express themselves in ways they want, and will clash. So to help people learn, children learn how to make it work in the world is the delicate art of parenting. And I think that the way to do that successfully is not to impose punishment and guilt and shame in order to get them to cooperate with the ways of society. There's nothing more toxic than shame and guilt in my book.
Absolutely. Well said. And I think, Todd, is the parents need to be a good example. Children don't listen to what we necessarily say, but they do follow what we do. So we all need to become better examples for living a life that's authentic, beautiful, and loving. And how would you summarize your message in a couple of lines? And how do you suggest people begin or advance their moving away from fear and limitation to greater radical joy and love?
In a couple of lines, I would say we start with a deep and profound faith in the fact that all is goodness. That's the truth. We certainly don't experience it that way, but all is goodness, all is love, all is joy. And when we don't experience it that way, we have to have this fearless courage to look at those limiting beliefs that are keeping us from that experience. There's a wonderful line from a play that says, "I refuse to be intimidated by reality." When we know with deep, profound faith that reality is ultimately joyful, when something intimidating comes along, we say, I am not going to stand for it. I'm going to shoot straight for that joy that I know is waiting for me on the other side. As the Course in Miracles says, it's just a wall of clouds. Go walk through it.
Absolutely.
Clouds cannot stop you.
No, nothing can stop us when we have this truth behind us. And I would like to thank you, Dr. Todd Pressman, author of Radical Joy, for sharing your journey of self-awareness and a greater understanding of the technology and methods being used for mind, body, and spirit healing on a multidimensional level. For more information, go to... This is PressmanAndAssociates.com. Todd
right.
would also love to have you request a free ebook, Quotes and Stories That Can Change Your Life. So go to that website and ask for it, and please mention Healing From Within, that you heard the show here. And in summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Todd and I have shared our trust in the universal plan and design for evolution's process for shaping a world community of citizens who reflect the true nature of man and spirit and function at a level beyond primitive and lower vibrational emotions and fear, and gather the means within them to manifest and fulfill their life plan with greater efficacy and joy. When in alignment to their powerful energy systems and the mind-ego connections, we can unify the best aspects of our complete life force, mind, body, and spirit. As always, there is a body of questioning seekers who wish to weave together a clearer view of who we are as spiritual beings having a physical life experience. Your father, Maury Pressman, wrote, "There is a counter-movement to psychoanalytical training where one is taught to stay within the limits of the body-mind, a movement of seekers who know the value of emotion, love, and the presence of the heart-brain. Advanced studies in quantum physics are proving that the core teachings of all religions, the oneness that we are and to which we shall return, is the essential truth." How can we doubt what was just read here? A higher consciousness and awareness does come to those who meditate, pray, and alter their thinking mind to access the goodness and altruism of their divine potential and a reflection of the higher view of universal energy. Todd and I would have you seek to awaken the curiosity and desire to learn and grow and do your best to find joy in whatever job, family, friends, or challenges that surface in your everyday life story. And in doing that, you will find radical joy and experience the lightness of being and the gift that life offers to us to explore our own reality, dreams, and desires in a wholesome and holistic fashion. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to explore and discover the stories of authors who have opened their hearts and minds to new possibilities for knowing our physical and spiritual realities and giving us so many tools to find our way towards self-actualization and a healthy, prosperous life. Also go to webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you for listening.